come on back, come on back. It's after 3. You are 180 seconds behind schedule. This is the part of the afternoon where people are not listening. Hey, if you can hear my voice, make a little bit of noise. I should probably be more specific. If you can, thank you. Can you do that? That's awesome. Hey, if you can hear my voice, make a lot of noise. All right, how about everybody get up? I know it. This is our last time doing it. Get up, get up, get up. Stand up. Thank you, Glenn. Glenn's leading the charge. Let's move around a little bit. Wiggle it just a little bit. Try not to fall asleep. We've still got an amazing speaker for you to listen to. Some great information. For the Game Changers, how many of you guys were with us when we went behind the scenes at Abacus? How was that? If you were with us at Abacus, make some noise. Okay, cool. So I'm excited to introduce Howard, but I just want to say, don't forget to leave here with something specific that you're going to implement right when you get back or sooner. It's very important to take immediate action. You guys have been awesome. Howard, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. Give it up for one Sherry Perry. I mean, does this lady add some value to this community or what? Absolutely. So grateful for her. Listen, before we, give me 1 second. Before we bring Mike Myers up, I don't know all this stuff. I'm like, Mike Myers. I didn't know there was a Michael Myers, a killer also. So when y'all are like, the comedian, I was like, the comedian. I don't think he's a comedian, and I'm pretty sure he's not a killer. But you're about to get into a phenomenal marketing mind, someone who has experience like very few people have. Before I bring Mike up here, I want to remind you guys that I have what I call a dream team, phenomenal dream team mastermind in Destin at the Noble House. We did our first session. It was over the top. The next one coming up. Who was there, by the way? Okay. Heather, 1 to 10? 50? Okay. You had two people there. It was over the top. The next one, we're going to have Steve Baker, and he's going to be doing a program. This is on auto advance or something. He's got an incredible program. So if you're not already registered, see the team. They'll get you all the information for it. And then August, so the next one is May 29th and 30th at the Noble House. We have a couple people who have already reserved rooms there. If you want to actually stay at the Noble House, you got to act fast. But you can stay somewhere else, and then you can come over to the Noble House for the meeting. This is for yourself and your leaders. It's designed to help you develop your team. And then August 14th and 15th, we'll have a young man by the name of Santiago Arango. And we're going to spend 2 days on how to coach your team for phenomenal performance. And then October 9th and 10th, which the 10th is Denise's birthday, we're going to, Sherry Perry will be there. Yeah, I guess she didn't know that. And we're going to dig deep into the higher levels, deeper levels of DISC leadership. Again, it'll be Denise's birthday, so I'm sure we're going to party. And then those of you that are in the program, we'll be reaching out to you shortly to get you on your monthly Zoom call that I promised you. Okay? Victoria, do you want to bring Mike's slides up? So I was speaking at an event, 3 weeks ago, a month ago, something like that?
3 weeks, yeah, 3 weeks.
And listen, here's what you got to do. If you attend an event, you go to an event, everywhere you go, actually, you want to scan and see who's in the space, notice people, connect with them. Hey, my name's Howard. What's your name? Hey, Samuel. Nice to meet you. What's your story, you know? And so I'm sitting at the table, and, you know, I look around. I see Abacus on his shirt, and I was like, Mike! And I knew him from, actually, not only knew him from when we did the tour at Abacus, but when we talked, we realized that we go way, way back. In fact, I think we might have worked together. We figured out that we might have even worked together like 30 years ago. Anyway, welcome to the stage, Mike Myers, 30-plus years of marketing and sales, what he's learned from those years building multi-gazillion-dollar businesses. Thank you for being here, Mike.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Are you leaving me?
I don't have to.
I'm a marketing guy. I'm not a professional presenter or speaker, so
yes.
Thank you for inviting me, though.
If you'd like to be, we can have that.
Okay, we'll work on that.
Would you like to improve your leadership, your presentation?
Yeah, skills? Well, probably leadership, too, yeah.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to do for you. I have a program,
okay.
And I'm going to invite, no, seriously, like, okay. What did I tell you guys? Like,
here it comes.
No, what did I tell you guys? Like, we all need to hone our presentation skills. Why? Because one of the richest men in the world said, if you can't communicate your ideas, you're limiting your potential.
Right.
So look at what this man has. Look what he's done. I want him to be able to get those points across better. But the fact that he's here and not a professional speaker willing to get up here and share with you says a lot about this man, doesn't it? Listen, he didn't hesitate. He lives like, you know, what, 5 hours from here? That's 2 hours.
Magnolia.
Hour and a half from here, okay? He drove all the way here just to do this, and he's going to go home. So I'm going to get you involved in my phenomenal presentation course. You're going to do fine. I'll be right here. Why don't you share what you got, and then
phenomenal.
We'll do
sure.
Q&A, okay?
See, I use the word phenomenal.
Phenomenal. I see that. I got it.
Am I catching on? All right.
You're catching on fast.
This is what I would call my security blanket. It's my little presentation for you. And again, I was just invited to be able to speak to anyone and everyone that would be willing and interested in learning some of the, I guess, the experiences that I've had in marketing. As I started, I guess I'll go up to the next one here. Born and raised in Southern California, moved to Houston in 2006. I was 36 years old with my family. Couldn't beat Texas for the cost of living. It was unbelievable compared to where we were in California, and that was, you know, a long time ago. It's gotten much worse since then. Graphic design school in 91. So my passion, I just followed my passion after trying to play around with college and do different things. My passion was graphic design and communication. So I really wanted to understand, though, the graphic side of things and just be a designer. Like, that was my passion, and then eventually be able to get into maybe like an ad, you know, advertising firm or do something like that. So that's where I started. And then after a while of doing graphic design for a couple of different companies and doing some more technical work and freelancing, I ended up at a company doing a software training because I was realizing that all of a sudden, you know, here I am doing all this work, graphic design work, for people to go sell that work and make like $30,000 a month. And that was way back then, right? I'm like, I think I should be in sales. Like, this is the wrong business. So so that's how I ended up in a B2B sales environment. And that was pretty exciting because I got to learn, you know, kind of the whole boiler room operation of how you just make outbound calls all day and you're trying to just reach decision makers. It was a little easier with a name like Mike Myers to reach a decision maker. One funny story with that was I actually had called into a business out of state. I was trying to set an appointment for one of the franchises in Chicago area. Called in, got right to the business owner, and I knew it was a big business. I'm like, that's kind of strange. Usually you got to go to a gatekeeper, leave a message, follow up, all the stuff that you know. So I got right in, and I'm like, yeah, this is Mike Myers from so-and-so, blah, 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 and I started to give my spiel, and they cut me off in the middle of it. They're like, wait a minute, you're not Mike Myers. I'm like, yeah, I am. Like, yes, I am. I got a driver's license. I'll prove it to you. They're like, no. We're in a conference room waiting for the actor to call. We handle all this financial planning and so forth. So just missed it by that much. I could have just had him route some funds to a different account. Would have been all right. So there's not a day that goes by that my name doesn't come up and somebody can make a comment about it. good time. So channel marketing manager, I did that for a large franchise organization in the e-com business, and then e-commerce marketing for the private club industry, and then followed my passion. Of course, there was a big dot-com bomb, right, that went off. So that didn't help the e-commerce side of being in marketing. Then I ended up in radio advertising for Salem Communications. Many of you may know they don't have the fish down here in Houston, but there's Christian radio. There's 1070 AM, KNTH. So I ended up working for the company that owns KNTH for quite a while. I learned a lot in that business, and even going back, I learned a lot. But radio was one of the first ones I really learned a lot about the customer. I should say like B2C advertising, right? So the thing that I really got to do was meet a lot of business owners from every type of industry across the board and find out more about their business. Not all of them became clients, but I got to do radio advertising for them and create their plans and actually write the copy for them and or get endorsements for them. And so I got to do a lot traveling all over LA and Orange County at the time. So that was a great entry into just learning more about the diversity of businesses and how they all operate and getting to be able to help them to grow their business through what I did, which was advertising on radio, right? And then I got into internet advertising sales. So I transferred here in Houston with Salem Communications, did that for a little while, then found a company that was doing Google advertising, which was brand new at the time, back in like the 06 timeframe. And it was actually through that Google advertising that I was able to meet Alan O'Neill, who some of you may know and or potentially have seen on TV and our TV ads. The founder of Abacus. And so I was the first one to introduce Google advertising to him. He said, what do? I said, we get people to click on your site when they're searching for a plumber. And he's like, so what is that? I'm like, it's called pay-per-click. And he's like, pay-per-clip? We got pay-per-clips all over the place. We don't need so. I'm like, no, pay-per-click. He's like, how much does it cost for a click? And I said, it's like $4 a click. And he's like, you're insane. I'm not gonna pay $4 a click just to get somebody. That doesn't mean it's a lead or a book call or anything. That's just to get them to the website. So long story short, we ended up doing business together and for about 3 or 4 years. And then he fired me. He said, I got somebody else that's gonna do a better job. I said, okay, whatever. But we stayed in touch. And then eventually they were gonna hire a new director of marketing. So I really wanted to be able to work for Alan because he's an unbelievable guy, phenomenal character. And sometimes you just want to be around great people, and he was one of those great people. So it was just the right time for me to do so. So that was the beginning of a great career at Abacus, and that was 13 years ago, so pretty exciting. So that's what I do now. I'm the director of marketing for Abacus. We launched a location out in Austin in 2021, and so we went from no branding, no advertising, no customers. Literally, we went out, found a building, it was empty. I'm like, how in the world are we gonna do this? This is crazy. And so 3 years later, 3.5 years later, we're now 27 million. So that's with the help of financial backing from Wrench, which is on this shirt, of Abacus, but Wrench is part. So I've got both going on, promoting both. So a lot of experience there. We threw everything we had at it. We learned a lot. We understood what worked, what didn't work, and we're still continuing to try to grow that business. I also simultaneously am handling advertising for a company up in Dallas called Berkey's, and they're a $45, $48 million company right now, and was also in charge of another company up there doing $100 million a year. So between Houston, which is about 85 million, and Austin about 30 million, and the other one about 45, 50 million. I'm responsible for a lot of calls and a lot of leads every single day, just put it that way. So I just wanted to kind of outline some of the things that I've learned. So I know everybody comes from different backgrounds. You all got different types of businesses, services, products, all kinds of different things. And so some of these may or may not necessarily apply to you directly, but even having worked in the internet industry, advertising industry, where I met Alan, I had companies from a single one man in a truck running his own carpet cleaning business, meet him in his living room, dogs running around, trying to get him to do advertising, and he did. And then all the way up to Kelsey Siebold, St. Luke's, Houston Boat Show. So, I mean, I've had, at the same time, under my portfolio, I've had, you know, literally the one-man carpet cleaning business all the way up to multi-million dollar organization. So a lot of experience there. So what I'm going to show you are just some of the things I've learned that I thought were pretty important. Obviously, goals, everybody here, highly focused. You're ahead of the game probably as far as like what you need to be doing for your business, but you I forgot there's a monitor down here, so I don't have to turn my back to you. That's great. So what do you want to track? How will you track it? What can you do with the information? And how we adjust the data so it aligns with your goals? Really just knowing what to know or what to look for in your business, no matter how big or how small you are, there's data. There's data that can tell you exactly, you know, certain things about what's going good or what's going bad. What I've just discovered, though, is the more of that data that you can look at, you don't necessarily even always know what you're looking for. But if you look at it and analyze it and sort it, or maybe have somebody, if you're not really great with Excel, have somebody maybe run some pivot tables on the data, or whatever you can, just be looking at it and just seeing what you can get out of it. And it'll be surprising what you can find and what information you can do with that and how to adjust your business. Accountability to your goals and plans at all levels. So, of course, I have to be super accountable to leadership at the organizations I have. But I also have a bunch of team members that are responsible and accountable to me. So I have to hold them accountable for those goals and plans that I'm trying to achieve all the way up the chain, right? But really focusing on what are the most important things. And it's so easy to get lost in things like data. There's so much of it. That just trying to stay focused on what is important and how do we track it and how do we achieve our goals doing that. Training and product knowledge are important, but soft skills, communication, and trust, I would say, are more important. Trust equals referrals and repeat business. Referrals, especially of smaller businesses, definitely are important to you. You want to get those referrals and repeat business. For plumbing and air conditioning and the home services businesses, at least the companies I'm a part of, and then we're part of the Wrench Group, which has about 28 brands nationally. I think we're $1.5 billion in annual revenue across all the different companies. So I talk to all of those marketing directors, and I'm in conversations with all of the general managers, the owners, so on and so forth. And really, we're all kind of doing the same thing, so we're all aware of all the different things that are going on. But one of the key things is just understanding how valuable and what the lifetime value is of an existing customer and what it can mean to you. And so I would say it ranges, but it could be between 75 to 85% of all of our business comes from repeat business. So the most difficult thing we do is acquiring a new customer, and it is more expensive than it's ever been before because of the competition. And so once you get that new customer, how their first experience is on the phone, how their experience is with the person that they meet or come into the store, those what I call soft skills in the communication channel is absolutely the most important thing that you can manage. If you do that right and you handle the customer service part of things right, there's grace, right, for messing up the installation or the product or the whatever it is. There's going to be grace there. But if you mess up the communication, all bets are off, right? So I would say, like, really, really focus on that. The one thing I did learn, especially in the, I don't know if it's going to be on the next slide or not, that I learned working in the internet business, and back in 06 and 07 when they first launched pay-per-click advertising at scale, our company that I worked for, we were able to listen to the phone calls So not only could we track the leads and the clicks, but or the clicks and the leads, but we were able to actually listen to phone calls and present that to our customers. And I'm sure now it's very common for everybody to be able to have access to those types of tools. If you don't, I would say please get some sort of software that allows you to listen to every single phone call. It is absolutely critical. But the one thing that I learned for sure is that, and especially smaller businesses that were clients of mine, I had to often tell them, like, I'm like, do I tell them the truth or I just not say anything? Because sometimes they would answer the phone as the owner and be the worst possible presentation to the customer. They might be in an attic, they might be doing something, whatever, the worst presentation. It would be far better to have a professional person and or a third party or somebody answering that call for you than yourself. So some people are really good at it, and you might be really, really good at what you do, but you may not be all that great on the phone. So you want that experience to be first class from the moment they call you. Promote yourself wherever someone might find businesses like yours. So the very first thing I did coming into Abacus, I had all this great knowledge and experience with internet and how that worked and all the experiences I had there. When I came to Abacus, though, being on the other side of the table, so to speak, not being a vendor to sell advertising to, but being someone that had to like figure out how to get calls and how to get the best response rates, I just started looking, one, on the internet and said, if somebody's looking for a plumber in Houston, what do they find? And there's lots of things there. And this is back in the day before there's all these other things now that we have to deal with. But back in the day, it was, you know, paid ads and then some listings that were there. But you would also find Angie's List. You would also find the BBB. So you would find multiple places that we might need to be. And we weren't in most of them. And we weren't even showing up with our own name. So that's the key thing, is just being present, being findable. When somebody's searching for, is findable a word? Probably not. So, but that's the key thing. So for us, it was Google, Bing, now things like Apple Maps and the sponsor listings, any third-party recommendation sites. So when it comes to a referral, what you're counting on is somebody to say something good about you, right? So that's why reputation and reviews are so powerful. And obviously, a first-person referral is the most important type of customer referral you could get. But the BBB could be a good place for you. We actually pay for sponsored ads on there, but we're also there and we focus on making sure that any and every complaint we get, we might get two or three a month out of running, I don't know, 3,000 jobs a month or somewhere in that range, whatever the number is, right? So, but we take each of those complaints very, very, very seriously. So it might be like the top, you know, it might be 1 or 2, maybe 3% of all of our jobs have some sort of a complaint. But let me tell you, let me go back to what I was saying. The biggest part of the complaint isn't that the job wasn't done right. The biggest part of the complaint is the communication. And every one of us, including myself, can understand that when we've had a poor experience with the business, is trying to get through to them and or get through to somebody that can just answer our question. All we want to know is blah, blah, blah. And so by not doing that a few times a month, we get ourselves into a whole lot of trouble. And so that's a heavy focus for us, is constantly, we have people literally just assigned to any kind of potential risk or concern or whatever. Let's get on it, let's get the right person on it, and let's handle it as soon as possible. And then also, going back to my slide, third-party recommendation sites, I already talked about that, but print, direct mail, yellow pages, email, social publications. I know some of you are probably laughing at the yellow pages, but when I first started, we were spending $20,000 a month in yellow page ads. Now we spend $2,500 a month. We have the same number of ads that we had back then. We just have been able to negotiate way down. So yes, people are using it less, for sure. There's no doubt about it. But our ROI, our return on investment, is still significant. So we do it. So don't just, you know, poo-poo something because you think it's old school. Old school still works to some degree, and there are still a lot of people that use it. So it could be also a cheap way to get in the door and just have some leads coming in. So just keep those types of things in mind. We do email. I mean, we do it all, right? But just anywhere that somebody might be able to find or look for your products and services, make sure that as much as you can, you're represented in those places. And then I've already gone through this, but phones are where the rubber meets the road. As much as you can, depending on the type of business, of course. 24/7 live, dependable answering is really, really critical. Even if it's a third-party answer machine or service, I'm not a fan of those. Now you've got AI attendants that can help do that in some of the software tools that are out there. Whatever it is, get that phone answered as fast as possible. And the first impression, maybe their last. Nothing pains me more than seeing calls that weren't answered or leads that weren't booked. It is, for us, in the multi-hundreds of dollars to acquire a customer. I can get the phone to ring for about $100, but to get them to be booked and on the, it's a lot. So that's why I just say, just make that first impression as good as possible. Listening to calls and listening to how people have answered your calls for you is like, oh, you can always find opportunities for improvement. I remember when I first got with Alan, I said, hey, you're doing pretty good. You've got 75% of your calls sound like they're being booked, or your leads. You know, not every call was a lead per se, but of the leads, about he's like, 75%, it should be 100% in his Irish accent. I can't do it. It's very funny. It always sounds more important in an Irish accent, right? So I'm like, well, okay, but I'm just saying it's pretty good. So I gave him the link and the login to be able to listen to those calls, and he was infuriated because they had gone off the script. Now, to me, it sounded pretty good, but he's like, they stopped doing this, they stopped doing it. So as soon as they made that adjustment, it went up to like 85, 90%. So significant improvement immediately just by being aware of how the phones are being answered. It may not work for your business, unless you're a plumber. Are you a plumber? All right, yeah, I'll give you the script. I've almost got it memorized, but I'm not going to try to do it. So knowing your data. Again, just going back to just know everything that you can about your business and about the marketing, especially what's going on. Now, I don't do all of the work for marketing, right? I've got a team of people. They're actually mostly independent teams that are across the country that I work with, as opposed to having them all in-house. So there's different ways of going about that. So I make them responsible for their, but I also have access to all that info. And from my background, I really do like to dig into the analytics, but really knowing your numbers is critical. Whatever those numbers are, it doesn't matter if it's, you know, how many SKUs, how many this, how many that, are we putting, you know, all of that stuff. But the more you know the data, the more you can reflect on how to improve it. If you don't know what it is, you can't really improve it or measure anything to improve it. You might go backwards trying something new, but at least you'll know, and and then you can bring it back. And also, like, do know what the lifetime value of your customers are. If you're brand new, you're not necessarily going to have an idea, but there's other folks in your industry that probably do have an idea that you can learn from. And so for us, it's getting more and more significant, but knowing that is really vital, and it makes it more feasible to understand that, yeah, it might take me a lot to get a new customer, but once I do have that new customer, I know that overall it'll pay off in the future. And then know your competition, but lead, don't follow. So of course we pay very careful attention to our competitors, and when I first started, we were definitely not as known as we are now, right? But even then, there's still masses of people that don't know who we are. So that keeps me up at night all the time. But at the end of the day, I still know who the main competition is. And so I watch them. But what we try to do is not really follow them. Like, we know kind of what they're doing. So it doesn't mean, like, you know, there's only so many paths to do marketing, so many types of tactics you could do. But I didn't want to really follow them in their exact messaging or anything like that. So then you just become like a cover band. I can say that because I used to be in a heavy metal Christian band, believe it or not. That's a whole other part of my story I've left out. So had long hair, had the bandana back in Southern California, played everywhere, the whiskey, we played all these places. So I'm used to sitting back there, though, because I'm the drummer. So I'm not used to even having to be in the front or talk on a mic or anything like that. So is there, well, I could do that well. So yeah, I could do that pretty well. So... Well, thank you. It's only because I love what I do, right? So if this was drudgery or whatever, I wouldn't be able to do this. But I do love talking to folks and helping them just try to figure out how to do marketing for themselves better. So it's a pleasure to be here. But definitely lead, don't follow. And then speak the customer's language. So when you're coming up with how you're going to communicate to a customer, then I work with plumbers and electricians, and I work with HVAC technicians, and you cannot believe the things they bring to me to promote. I have to go, like, Google it. I have to figure out what the heck they're talking. I'm not a plumber. I'm not a technician. So it's probably better that way. You probably want a marketing person that isn't as technically savvy in everything they do. But I'm like, do they even know what that is? Like, there's a ton of DIYers out there, but I'm pretty sure that's not our audience. So I don't want to know every detail about the product. I'm not selling these things on Amazon. I don't need to know every spec, maybe some of our products might need to know more. But when it comes to TV or radio, like, it's almost like old school Twitter, right, where you have, like, so many characters. You have to get your message out, and you should be able to get your message out in 15 seconds with the phone number. So really, 11 seconds. So try to do that, and that's like about 37 words. Can you talk about your business in 37 words to somebody in 11 or 12 seconds? And if you can't, work on it. Even just today, I was working on copy for some new radio and TV ads, and I will spend hours, way too much time, and this, you know, I should probably let our agency do it, but I love doing it because I come from radio and doing all these things, right? So I love doing it. But I will spend hours, like, wordsmithing that thing 1,000 different ways. Sometimes I end up right back to where I started. But how do you say the things that you need to say in that amount of time and get somebody to, like, get it? And that's very difficult. And sometimes we do, sometimes we don't, so we change it up and try it over. But I would never overpromise. And we always try to, we don't want to overpromise and underdeliver, right? So marketing is making promises and pronouncements, and you're trying to promote something to get people to buy, obviously, and you're trying to say you're better than the next person, right? Everybody does that. But when I do it, at least, and when we do it, and as part of some of our core values and our ethics, our core values are honesty, integrity, teamwork, and respect, and I take that seriously. Like, our entire company came up with that collectively, almost as like a Republican, but Republic type of democracy. We're like, we spent weeks and weeks trying to come up with that. And it was important to us, like, and there's, you know, words underneath that. So when we do marketing, yes, it's marketing. Sometimes it's gimmicky. Sometimes it is. There's just no way around it in the words we use and the things we say. But at all costs, we try to be 100% upfront about what we're saying. Try to put the disclaimers out there, whatever it is, right? I mean, there's liability there if we don't, as well, but just to be upfront with the customer. But what's interesting is the more upfront you are and the more precise you are with what it is that you do and you offer, and you're not trying to hide it and trying to manipulate around it, people respect it, and we get more calls out of that. So the more clear it is, the more precise it is, and the more accurate it is when they call and they get what they're expecting, then it goes a long, long ways in just building up velocity of calls for us. Make a promise, stick to it, and don't overthink your messaging. Because now, I just told you I spent probably hours trying to write ad copy, right? But again, to keep it simple is probably the hardest thing that I do as a marketing person. Because trust me, I've got all the data. I've got all the information about the thing that we're trying to put out there, and the surge protector, and you don't even know all the things I've had to learn about that I don't want to know about. But they are important, and people do want these things, but sometimes people don't know they need them. They don't know they exist. So I'm educating customers as much as I'm also trying to get them to call about it. So try doing that in 15 seconds. I know you've never heard of this thing, but you really need it. So call us today, and we'll get you set up. Be like, wow, okay. Let's see, what else do I got here? Focus on building a solid, phenomenal reputation. I cannot tell you, like, so when I joined Abacus, the reputation was already there. However, it wasn't really represented online. It just wasn't. And so I started immediately getting them, you know, reviews online and doing all that kind of stuff. And we had really great instant success as far as just getting customers to say how happy they were with us. But that wasn't being put out there. I'm working with a one-man carpet cleaning company. Here we go again. But it's actually a family friend out in Colorado. So he literally just started up his business. Now, his family had a business for a long time. They sold it. Now he's starting to do it on his own. But, like, literally no website, no hardly a setup email. And he's very young, but he's not very technical. So I'm like, you got to get your Google Map going. You got to start getting reviews on your Google Map. Just send people, you know, no reviews. So when I started at Abacus, though, like, I knew that that was going to be a thing. But, like, literally day one, from the time we started asking people, we were getting, like, 20, 30 positive reviews a day. So you may not have that velocity, but a few reviews a day, a week, a month will add up, and that's going to be really important for you. Again, depending on what you sell, what products you have. But trying to get that third-party validation, we'll ask people to go to the BBB and leave a review as well. So we do that. I don't want ever talk about Yelp. Yelp's a bad word. reviews, testimonials, and voice of the customer. So not just Google, but video. Again, may not be for your particular business, but we started getting customer testimonials. COVID helped, actually, because everybody got used to Zoom. So we started, before COVID, we started going out to customer houses with the video camera, asking them about their, you know, their experience with us. Hopefully it was good. And then we got that on tape and then edited it, put it out there on video. With COVID, we were able to do like 4 to 6 a month of these and collectively. So we've got hundreds of them now on YouTube. You'll probably never see them all, but they're all out there, and each one of them links back to our site and, you know, Plumber, Houston. So we're doing a bunch of SEO things with that too. SEO is a huge part of what we do. And then promote it publicly. But again, that's your reputation, right? So that's a referral. So if you can capture it on video, or they're willing to do a selfie and send it to you, and they're willing to put it on your Google channel, whatever it is, right? Your Google channel. I sound like my grandfather. It's pretty funny. But you know what I'm saying. So that's really important. And see, their experience is more important than your proclamations, for sure. I could say how great we are all day, and I could believe it, and I can know it, because I know the work we do is solid. 97.8% of the time, except for those. But again, not even that little 3% is the problem. It's the communication that's the problem. But getting somebody else to say that about you is really, that's where it becomes phenomenal, and that's where you're going to get the benefits of that. And then always ask for referrals. Make it easy, beneficial. So when Alan first started his business, or back in the day, I know he worked with Howard on developing a referral program. So that was really beneficial in helping Abacus grow. And then most importantly, expect phenomenal. Hire phenomenal. Cannot tell you how important that is. If they're not good, fire phenomenal fast to become more phenomenal. Train phenomenal. So not everybody we hire is perfect in our eyes, but we hire now for cultural fits rather than technical expertise, right? So still not perfect. You don't have 100%, and never would I say every one of our employees is perfect, you know. But then we can train them up, and they can become a better technician. They can become better in all the things they do if they are a good cultural fit and they have those essential core values that we hold true to. And then that will help you earn phenomenal and be phenomenal. It's contagious. So that's that. And so any questions I can ask right now, and by the way, I can go back to the beginning, and if you want to call me or email me, you're welcome to. Offline. Oops. There's my phone number if you want that. Yep. I have how many X? What? I didn't hear you say that.
Let's say 15 minutes
still?
Okay. I got your first question.
I have 45 seconds. Who's got the first question? That's right. That's right.
So you say,
I have 15 minutes for questions. Who has my first question?
I do.
So, perfect. And what's your name?
Kirk.
Kirk.
I was in Lowe's a few months ago, and I met one of your employees and made a really cool connection, and he's called me twice to follow up in the last 6 months. Are y'all still doing that, and how's that program
only working? Twice?
Yeah.
What's his name? No.
But I told him. I let him know that I didn't have a need, but I appreciated it.
Okay.
And I told him that I'd met Alan, and but I was just curious how that program came.
You know we're doing $49 tune-ups right now, right?
I do, but he'll be the guy that I call when I'm ready.
Yeah, no. So, and I apologize. What is the question then?
I was just curious, how did that program come about, and how's it working?
Yeah, so that's part of what we call a retail program. And so to be able to get into Lowe's or Home Depot or Costco or any of those, it's a bit of a juggernaut to get in. It's its own animal. There is a whole department that focuses on hiring those folks and managing those folks. And not only that, but those corporations have a lot of expectations on you, some more than others. It's almost like we serve them, and they have heavy, heavy expectations on us to be able to produce. Now, we're in there because we think it's going to be great, and we can get some, you know, additional leads out of it and so forth. But it's not easy. Some of those people, though, end up becoming, I wouldn't say they're not all full-time employees. So we manage them, you know, part-time type thing, and they have so many hours a day, they got to be there and all that. But some of them become, you know, part of our full-time team, and then they actually, like, I think we've got one right now that just got hired on. He's become an apprentice. So we're doing a lot of things in that regard. So it's good, but it's a hard job standing there and talking to people that don't want you to talk to them all day long. I wouldn't wish that on my, you know, worst enemy, but it's good work that they do. And who's got my next question?
Kill.
That was awesome.
We do a lot of advertising. We also reach out with links for our Google reviews. But you mentioned something earlier, especially for people that don't have a lot of reviews or that just starting, Google Maps for reviews. What is that?
Say what you just said.
You said Google, use your Google Maps for
reviews? Oh, yeah. So it's called the GMB, Google My Business page. That's essentially, like, if you go look for a restaurant, or you go look for a plumber, or you go look for anything, there's maps, or in the map, and there's a bunch of pinpoints on there, and then off to the left, there's little icon, or little business listings there. So if you don't have a Google My Business listing, it's not hard to get. It's very easy to set up. I would say easy. There's always different, you know, issues that might happen there, but should be pretty easy to set up. Now, you can have a Google My Business page without having a retail location. So, like, we have one, but nobody comes to our office to get plumbing work, right? So you can do it by service area, and that's the way to do it. But ultimately, that's right now, and for a very long time, Google has been the monopoly. So if anything, I would focus on trying to get your reviews built up there. When you set up the page, it'll say ask for reviews. It'll tell you the link to send to people. In a lot of software, caller software, dispatch, whatever software you might have nowadays, especially a home services type thing, there's automation built into it. So whenever a purchase is made or something is done, it'll automatically send them a link. Hey, would you mind giving us a review? So that helps the automation of it. But, you know, if not, just take that link and send it out via email or whatever you can. So, yep.
Nate's going to go next, but I'm going to steal a question if that's okay. Oh, by the way, for everybody in the community, setting up Google My Business, there is a video in the website in the digital marketing course if you guys have questions on setting that up, okay?
And it's phenomenal.
It's phenomenal, that's right. And Katie Harris tells you how to do it. So I have a question. Can you tell us about a time where your department went through a marketing slump and how you got yourself out of it?
Come to my office any day of the week.
So how do you work through that then, principally? Yeah. Like, you know, how do you problem solve that situation? I think that would be something I'd like to hear from you.
Yeah, so we have, in Houston, we have over 400 employees. And in Austin, we have 120-something. A big majority of those employees are technicians. And if they're not working that day, I'm hearing about it. And so I hear about it every day. When I first started, it was easier to get us, like, we were booking 2 weeks out. I mean, you're never going to get a job 2 weeks out, but we were booking 2 weeks out. We've gotten to the point where we're somewhat plateauing, and so it becomes harder to get more customers as you get bigger and bigger. One is it's tougher to hire people, too, these days than it used to be. By the way, anybody with kids trying to figure out what to do in college, high school, all that stuff, please send them. But given the opportunity to go to the trades is unbelievable. We have people making unbelievable amounts of money every year, and all they did was, not all they did, it's not easy, because especially in Texas, you got to get licenses and go through all that process. But they can start out 40, 50, 60,000 a year, and they can end up, I mean, we have people almost $500,000, sometimes more than that, a year in our trade. So I mean, they're making more than the executive management team in a lot of cases, they really are. But so that's the opportunity, and but still, even with all that, every day there's a slump of some sort. Now we have seasonal slumps. We have air conditioning business, right? So obviously in the winter it's kind of hard to sell air conditioning to Eskimos, but we try. But so you know, there's not a great heating business for Houston. So what we do is we already know that going into it. We've got those kind of slumps. Now, sometimes you have slumps that come, and you're like, what's going on, you know? So we start talking to other businesses that are like us. Are you also seeing that slump? And if that's the case, then that kind of gives you, it doesn't make things better. It doesn't help you hit your goal. But at least you kind of know it's going on. It's a trend. If it's not going on and everybody else is wildly successful, and then all of a sudden you've got a slump for whatever that is that you're trying to get calls for, whatever, then you're like, okay, I better dig in fast. And so we dig into all the analytics. We dig into all the data. We look at how we did this time last year. We everything you can think of, we have KPIs and data coming out of our ears. So we're always looking at what can we do. And, of course, as much as we can, and it's limited, but we'll do, like, real-time email blasts. There's not a lot you can do today to get calls, but your customer base is your most important customers. For anything, even in regards to that type of thing. Because they might be sitting around thinking, I might need that service today, or you just make them aware of it, and they'll call. So, like, literally it happened yesterday. We sent out an email blast just specifically for electrician services in Dallas, and they filled their books for a couple of days. Now, it's only a couple of days, but it gets them through. And so we can't do that every day, but it does help. So we know that those things will happen, so preparation for that is the most important. Know it will happen, and then what is your plan of attack when it does happen, and then execute that. Be ready to execute it. So we are more than prepared with 1,000 different templates of things that we could just be ready to go to send out. And then we'll customize it, go, and then we get the benefit of it.
Okay, just one follow-up question. What would you say the top 5 KPIs you're looking at in your marketing department to make sure that everything is running smoothly? If you were to just look at a report, what would we as a community or business owners need to be aware of?
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, everybody's probably got some sort of a website, right? So I would make sure that you and or somebody you can find understands Google Analytics really well, because that's going to tell you a lot about what's going on. And then for me, calls, booked calls, how many calls are, so we have a 5-day card that's built into some of the software we have. So I can see how many calls we have today, tomorrow, for 6 days out, today plus 5 days out, so a total of 6 days. And I can go, knowing that data every single day, I know what the trends are now. So it doesn't scare me if there's no calls in, you know, 6 days or very few. That's okay, especially in our business. But that's because I know that for every for every Sunday or for every Saturday, you know, going back 5 years, 10 years, that those calls will fill up. They will come as long as we keep doing what we're doing. So I would keep executing, doing what you do. Don't question yourself. The demand cycles are like waves. They go up and they down, and sometimes you don't know why. It doesn't make any sense, but it just happens. In our industry, we get more calls on Monday, no matter what, than on Tuesday, than on Wednesday. Sometimes a little boost on Thursday, and then it goes down to Friday. Of course, Saturday and Sunday are lighter. But we know that industry-wide. That is the way it is. We can't change people's behavior. We don't know why it is. We can make a lot of our assumptions. We have the assumptions, but know your industry. Yours might be Saturday and Sunday is when you get all the calls, so just know that, but lead up to it, keep marketing through it, so that when it's time for them to make that decision that they're calling you.
First of all, thank you, Mike. Appreciate all this information. This is awesome. I just keep thinking of more and more questions, but I'll try to let somebody else go here.
If that email doesn't work,
I got it written down. That's why I saved it.
Yeah, Howard typed it up, so it might be wrong. Might be a typo. No one's.
First of all, so percentage of sales, what percentage of sales is your total marketing budget, and then what percentage of sales is coming from referrals?
It's very we have a referral program now, but it's very difficult to track that. So we get more referrals than are tracked. So I don't even know that number. Most people don't even care about trying to get the gift, you know, or the dollars back or whatever it is that we're offering. So it's but we know that people tell other people. So hard to track that. Our overall ad spend, the magic number was always 10% of whatever your goal is, that's what you should be spending. So if your goal is 100,000, you should be spending 10,000, like for that month, for that year, whatever it is. Now those dollars are much harder to use in marketing today than they ever were. Right now we're in the, we go between like 8 to 10%, but we usually are spending more in the off season than we are in the peak seasons for like air conditioning, for example. That's just because we're now selling and making a lot more, so percentage wise. But generally, it's about 8% for us. We have some locations that are in almost the $200 million a year range, and you know they might be 4%. At some point, you don't need that much more advertising. There's only so much you can do, especially locally.
So I'll definitely reach out because I may have a way that we can talk and help each other on that.
Absolutely.
Pretty exciting stuff because that has been an issue for us too. But second, what percentage is coming? Are you expected to come from your tech leads? And the HVAC plumbing electrical business as well. So what percentage of leads are you wanting to get from your text, and then what percentage are you expecting to get from your marketing?
Yeah, that's a mixed bag too. So we're constantly trying to get our text to generate leads for us. I don't have the exact percentage, but it's like, it's the 80-20 rule. Like 20% of our texts do really good on TGLs, tech generated leads, referrals, and then 80% don't. So it's a constant training problem for us, but it's probably like in the 5 to 10%, you know, at best for TGLs. So, I don't want to say because I don't know for sure, but that's what I remember. So,
I just want to make a point. You're doing a lot of traditional advertising. They're doing a lot of traditional media, and when you have a big presence in the marketplace like Abacus does, I mean, they're on TV all the time, they're on radio all the time, all that. It's harder to track your referrals because people are like, oh well. I see the billboards, I saw on TV, somebody, you know. And so I just wanted to point that out, that they're tracking all this stuff that they're making, that they're spending money on, that they're investing in. You know, you got to do that. It just makes it harder to track referrals, right? They're not out there doing the traditional type of referral marketing like we do. So when you get bigger like them, then it just the game just changes. I just want to make that quick point.
Yeah, we're always asking for them, for sure. In our emails or wherever we are, we're always asking for the referral. It's just that we don't see actual people filling out the form and doing what they need to do for it as much. Okay, yep, Becker.
Hi, Mike.
Hello.
You had me at expansion in Austin, and you went from 0 to $25 million. So I want to pick a brain of the marketing guru that you are. What are the top three tactics in marketing that you focused on? Notwithstanding, obviously, you guys have a big reputation in another market, but for you, specifically for that location, what were the top three marketing tactics that you focused on? And out of those three, which one was the highest revenue producer?
Yeah, so even going back to your question, like how do you track certain things, and what Howard was also saying, roughly 60-something percent of our dollars are spent on TV and radio. And yeah, we have a tracking number on there, but we also have our website. And so we probably track like, I don't know if it's like $1,600 a month out of TV, but we know it works, right? So we're not going to like turn it off because of that. All the things that we know that for sure that we can track, pay-per-click, everything digital, you can track all day long. Even direct mail, we can get a much better handle on it. But just going to your point, we went heavy with TV, radio, direct mail, and pay-per-click, of course. Now, pay-per-click works better when somebody knows your name. So I saw that across the board for 7 years. I did that and worked with every company under the sun. And the minute I turned it on for a company that was known, ABC was a client. We did John Moore. We did some of the other clients. I mean, just didn't matter what the industry was or product was. If they were known, their clicks went through the roof. Unless it's a high commodity, like I worked for a boat reseller, you know, or like companies that sell boats and stuff. So, like in some cases, there's a lot of keywords you can find, and people are interested in buying all these different boats and stuff. So those take off pretty quickly. But definitely direct mail is it. But direct mail really works more. We started pulling back recently on that because what you find is direct mail. Again, depends on what the business is. I don't want to say it's not good, but you're lucky to get 1%, 1-2% for prospecting. When it comes to our existing customers, I used to not think this was important, but we started going after existing customers monthly, and it works every single month. It's not the same customers calling every single month, but it works. And sometimes they're not calling about the thing that you're marketing. They're just calling about whatever it is that triggered in their mind. Oh, I got to call them for that. I got to call them for that. So don't assume that they don't need you. Don't assume that marketing once a month to the existing customers, however you do it, educational info, whatever you want to do, isn't worth it. It is, but it was TV and radio. Now, we had Wrench Group headquarters, corporate, backing us to do that. So it was a highly uncommon situation where we could go in with that kind of investment. If I was starting out from scratch, I probably would have started with pay-per-click and probably some prospecting direct mail to get our name aware of our target audience. I like direct mail because it's the only thing that you can do to send it directly to, in our case, the right type of, you know, customer, which is the homeowner. It gives us that and home values and all the different things that we're looking at, right? But pay-per-click is the one where you know they're looking for that specific thing and you're there right there. So it's very expensive for us, but that's the one that we know we definitely need. Lots of other things. So like we also did a huge effort on SEO activity, which we're still working on, trying to get to be like the first page for some of the keywords. 3 years later, we're still trying to do that, which is mind-boggling. But one thing that we can track, though, if you're doing pay-per-click, digital, we leave our branded name on all the time. Now, again, not everybody's going to need this, but for us, it's critical. So anybody looking for Abacus Plumbing, Abacus Electrical, Abacus Air Conditioning, Abacus, whatever version of that you can think of, we leave that on 24/7. So what that lets us do, though, Google gives us data back, and it says, here's how many people looked for you or looked for that keyword. Even if they didn't click, here's how many people looked for you. And so month after month after month after month, we went from zero in the beginning in Austin to now, like, I don't know the actual number, but like it's thousands a month of searches now. So you can see that trend go up, but that's not because of pay-per-click. Pay-per-click is measuring what our branding is doing. So that's how I know that type of branding works.
Couple points I want to make. One is I want you to notice that a man with this experience is telling you to market to your existing client list. Don't ever stop doing that. Ever, ever, ever. Smaller company, you go into a new market. Referral marketing for a smaller company that doesn't have the Wrench Group's budget, which who really does?
A lot. Got a lot.
Go see referral sources. Position yourself in the community. Now what I would say is that who has my final question?
I'd love to keep talking to you all, but who in the audience has my final question? I've got two. Three.
That's fine.
I'm happy to talk to you all later. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, it doesn't
well,
have
I'm
to
going
final,
to wherever Howard
that gets
takes
them
it.
To raise their hand. So here we go.
We start charging after the third one.
So my husband and I, we own a roofing company, and our average client buys from us once every 10 to 20 years. Why do we keep marketing to the same people and not their neighbors?
Funny you should ask. Through Alan, I met a roofing company in Seattle. Seattle's not Houston. But a lion's share of their revenue is coming from existing customers, and I did not understand that when I first met them. I couldn't fathom it. I really couldn't. So they created maintenance plans to be able to go out and inspect the roof once a year. They created, I mean, in Seattle, it's a different market, right? So you got moss growing on roofs and things like that. But for whatever reason, whether they didn't install the whole roof and they're just doing repairs or whatever it is, it was a high percentage of existing codes. So they just stayed in touch. Now, it may not be every month that you have to market to them, right, that you send some. But I'd still do it and ask for referrals and let them know what's going on with the business. They move. They go somewhere else. They rent their house out. They do all kinds of things. So just stay in touch with them as much as you can in that regard. Yeah, you don't want to overburden, you know, but at the end of the day, how many messages do we all get from people we don't want to get messages from? It's just like, eh. But there is that one. Oh, yeah, I got to do that. So you never know. Mr. Howard, do you want to relay the
I'm the mic runner now. Who's next? Uh-oh. Going to turn in the Donahue show.
Oh, they're right here, too, I think. And,
all right, we just went through a crash course in AI. I was curious what AI tools you are using and how are you using it.
Yeah, so I've toyed around with it in creating messages because I do a lot of ad copy and writing and things like that, and it's helpful. I also do it for research. I still don't rely it on 100% for what I do. However, on the back-end side, operations side, AI has become a huge part of the business, especially on the software side of things. So we're part of where Howard was speaking 3 weeks ago when we saw each other at a company called ServiceTitan. Do you use ServiceTitan? Okay. So, but companies like that, any software company like that, they're incorporating AI into everything they do. We're actually rolling a lot of those features out now back to our company through that. So a lot of it's just going to be integrated into what you do anyways already. We are marketing to AI engines so that AI starts hearing us and seeing it. Now, a lot of AI on the internet is just scraping things off the web. So it is what it is. It's not like, you know, somebody's sitting there thinking about things. So some of us is scraping data off the web. So you want to have more information about yourself and your company and your reputation out there. You don't have to necessarily feed an AI engine, but we are through a couple partners we have that are doing that for us. But just personally, I'll get on and just try to, like, ask questions. I have actually used it to do this. I actually created an infographic off of it. So I didn't use it to create the design of the infographic. I was looking for the content, and then I hired a designer to do the infographic itself. But that was helpful. A lot of it I kind of probably could have figured out on my own, but I got it in like 10 minutes as opposed to 10 hours of trying to put it together. And so that was super, super helpful. And those graphics and infographics, we market, they're educational, they help. They don't necessarily drive a lead in real time, but portable versus whole home generators, tankless versus tank hot water heaters, those types of things. So like, how do you help a consumer know what to buy? And of course, you're the source that they can buy it through. So there's lots of different things you can use it for. I probably played around with it way more than anything I've actually used, but it is interesting. But I would say, like any company you're using software-wise or whatever, they're probably already integrating it. I know the next thing we have coming up is like our AI attendant. So when we have, whenever Houston has a storm, probably any market that we're in has a storm, though when we had a freeze 3 years ago, 4 years, I forget how long it was now, we had 40,000 phone calls in 24 hours. We cannot answer 40,000. That doesn't include all the emails. So I went by the call center manager desk, and he had his cell phone up, and he was just like sitting there, and it was like this, just scrolling. And I'm like, what are you watching? Like, stock market? And he's like, that's just our leads. That's our leads and our calls coming in. What do you do? So all we do in that instance is make people mad, because we can't get to everybody. It's impossible. So we try to take the most priority issues, you know, seniors and emergencies and things like that, whatever we can. But it doesn't help. It's not good for us. But at the end of the day, if we had an AI attendant and there was unlimited capacity. So even in then, we, you know, right now, we're still rolling calls over to a call center or a third-party answering service. But they, you know, what are they going to do? They can't do it all either. So definitely AI is going to have its benefits. And nowadays, an AI attendant can book a call, can figure out exactly what you need. It can do all those things. So we're working towards that. And it's not that we want to replace the real customer service people with that, because there's definitely something different about having a real person answer them. But if it answers our customer's question and it helps them get what they need, we have more people booking online now without ever talking to us than we've ever had. And so whatever makes it easy for the customer, like, that's what we want. And so it's just a matter of us being able to control the capacity in the back end. So, any more questions?
Is that it?
Feel free to call
Gigi,
me.
Do you have a question?
Email me, whatever you need to do.
Okay. Well, listen. Oh, sorry. You okay, honey? Your dad is right there. He's right behind you. All right.
59 minutes and 42 seconds is what I'm seeing here. Is that like dead on? No, I probably went like a half hour.
No, that is like dead on. I think you're a lot better than what you made out to be. What do y'all think? Huh? Look at this.
Thank you.
Look at this.
It's amazing. Thank
Look
you.
Look at this. Okay. Okay. How about, we didn't get the best picture a while ago.
Oh, no, we did not.
She said I was standing behind the computer.
And this is dressing up for me, so I just want to let you all know I really went all out.
Me too.
Marketing. Thank you.
So, I would rather, much rather have somebody up here stand and deliver from experience than to have somebody just come up here and, you know, be a great presenter and not give us anything valuable. What do you think? Huh? All right. So, you want to hang around for a little bit?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. So, Mike's going to hang around for a little bit. I got a couple things to share with you before we take off, but we're going to be done here in just a couple minutes. Thanks again, Mike.
You're welcome.
See
Thank
you in
you.
A few.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. A couple things. Any of you guys who want to have more information on the Dream Team Masterminds that I'm doing in Destin at the Noble House, if you'd like to have a flyer on this, just raise your hand and the team will come around and give you some information on it. Where's Christian? I guess he's with Gigi. Oh, there you go. Okay, so if you'll get these flyers to see if somebody needs one of these. And then also, this is your last chance to become a co-author in my book, Phenomenal Business Success. We have to close the registration if we're going to get bestseller status this year, okay? Now, we'll still probably do the book, but we just won't get bestseller status this year. So if you're at all interested in being a co-author in Phenomenal Business Success, or you know nothing about it, you're curious about it, just ask for this flyer as well, and we'll make sure that you get these. Just go around the room and see if anybody, who wants one, okay? Both of them, yeah. And then any other questions for me, for us, before we close? Okay. Speaking of AI, Mr. James Howard Bardwell III, otherwise known as Jim Bardwell, had AI record a phenomenal song for us. And what I would like to do is I'd like for everybody to stand up and let's create a giant circle around this room, okay? We're going to play this song and we're going to hold hands like a community. Be sure that your hands are not sticky. Like Dr. Rome said, if they are, hold hands with an S. They won't mind. Just don't hold hands with a D. You want to get in a circle with us, guys? Okay. All right. Listen. We're gonna go down this way. See where the Marians are? Esther May, Janie, Here, get the kids right there next to you guys, okay? And I'll be right down there with you. Okay. All right, you want to hit that? All right.
Do it again. There we go. Thank you. Turn it up.